When Southwest Went South, the latest chapter today. I'm David Brancaccio. A passenger is suing Southwest Airlines, saying he got no refund after his flight was canceled during that Christmas operational meltdown that could snowball into a class action, even as the airline tries to make amends. Marketplace's Nova Safo is following this.
Yeah, David, this lawsuit was filed in federal court in New Orleans, and the passenger suing is accusing Southwest of breach of contract because he says he was initially offered only credit for a future flight instead of a refund. Now, we first heard about this last week as Southwest was struggling to get back to normal operations. There were reports that many passengers had trouble getting quick refunds, had trouble getting someone from Southwest on the phone even, because the airline was overwhelmed by its operational struggles. In a letter last week from Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg to the airline, he said Southwest must provide refunds under the law, 7 days if paid by credit card, 20 days if paid by other means. So we're now past that 7-day mark for a lot of passengers who had their flights canceled last week, and that could be up to 1 million people by one estimate. We'll have to see if it goes forward how many people this lawsuit might potentially apply to.
1 million. Now, Southwest says it is processing refunds. What else?
Yeah, on Southwest's website, passengers can fill out an online form to request a refund. The airline says it will also pay for reasonable expenses such as hotel stays, meals, ground transportation. It's also giving passengers who were stranded 25,000 frequent flyer miles as compensation. And those miles, according to the airline, are going to passengers on canceled or significantly delayed flights between December 24 and January 2nd. All of this could cost the airline quite a bit of money, David, anywhere from about $300 million to up to $700 million.
All right, I just checked, and those 25,000 Southwest points will get you one way from New York to Cleveland over the Martin Luther King Jr. Day weekend, but it won't get you back, which is too bad because Cleveland has some great museums. First day for stock trading of 2023 was a fizzle. The NASDAQ index yesterday fell 0.8%. The Dow was down slightly. This morning, S&P futures are up 0.4%.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
In recent weeks, U.S. regulators have been granted much better access to the auditing of Chinese companies. These firms have been threatened with banishment from U.S. stock exchanges unless systems were made more transparent. I'm joined by Marketplace's China correspondent Jennifer Pak. Good morning.
Morning, David.
Why do U.S.-listed Chinese companies need to open their books to U.S. regulators?
So any company listed on U.S. stock exchanges must do so. It's under the Sarbanes-Oxley law, which was passed in the early 2000s after a number of big U.S. companies collapsed, including Enron. Now, American regulators want to inspect not the firms themselves, but their auditors. Specifically, they're looking for the working papers that lay out the steps these auditors took to prove or to verify the financial statements of these Chinese firms.
The U.S. companies have to do this, as do foreign firms from other countries. Why have Chinese companies avoided this kind of scrutiny for, I think it's 2 decades, it looks like?
Yeah, for 2 decades. Because China's government says that this could leak state secrets. The issue, of course, is their definition of state secrets is pretty broad.
I mean, you can see this would be bad for investors, and there's a high-profile case that illustrates this.
So there's a Chinese coffee chain called Luckin, which was billed as the high-tech Starbucks killer. It listed on the NASDAQ in 2019, but just 1 year later, it admitted to faking more than $300 million in sales.
So in a sense, a bid to stop another Luckin situation.
U.S. regulators certainly think so, but some analysts we've spoken to says it might not, because any company, especially in Luckin's case, that had actively tried to defraud investors might still slip through the cracks.
Okay, so now U.S. regulators can inspect the books of Chinese companies. Why now?
Well, the U.S. Congress passed a law in 2020 called the Holding Foreign Companies Accountable Act. It says firms cannot trade on the exchanges if they don't comply with U.S. audit rules 3 years in a row. A number of Chinese firms failed in 2021, but then they complied late last year.
And beyond that, what did regulators find?
The Public Company Auditing Oversight Board, or the PCAOB, they sent people to Hong Kong and randomly selected two auditors. According to the PCAOB chair, Erica Williams, they had reviewed working papers of Chinese firms,
including large state-owned enterprises and issuers in sensitive industries.
Now, these are firms that China's government had denied access to in the past, but this time the PCAOB says it had unfettered access.
Okay, so there was the threat that Chinese companies that don't shine some sunlight into their auditing practices might get delisted from U.S. stock exchanges. Does this now remove the threat of delisting?
Not entirely. It just means the clock is reset. The PCAOB is already looking to set up more inspections in the new year. Here's the chair, Erica Williams, again.
If at any time we are not able to be allowed access, for any reason, we will act swiftly and immediately to reassess our determinations.
And she says their staff found numerous violations in these Chinese companies, which they say is common in countries that have never undergone a PCAOB inspection, but they won't be releasing their findings until later.
Marketplace's China correspondent, Jennifer Pack, thank you.
Thanks, David.
And could you imagine a memo that got you out of a quadrillion meetings at work effective immediately? Fortune magazine has seen just such a memo to employees at the e-commerce platform Shopify. All recurring meetings with more than two people at Shopify have been canceled from now on to give people more time to do rather than to talk about doing. As for big non-recurring meetings, there can only be one a week on Thursdays and Wednesdays from now on at Shopify have to be totally event-free. The company has about 10,000 employees. Can you run a firm with a lot of remote workers without all those meetings? Keep an eye on Shopify's profits and stock price and let you know. I'm David Brancaccio. You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.